Matt Stepp, people were too concerned about our domestic podcasts. They demanded we go international.
I'm bringing three downs to Texas high school football.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Coming to you from Canada. Look at us.
Yes, an international version of Tep and Step. I am in Canada on a little vacation before the football season starts, hanging out with the fam and
I like to think of it as done. On assignment.
So I am the UIL THSCA. Everyone has sent me on assignment to Canada. I am doing intensive research about bringing Canadian rules to Texas high school football. So we're going to go three downs, 110 yard field, and I'm bringing the rouge to Texas high school.
The rouge. Football.
Yes. Rouge. I'm really not.
We love a 1 point safety, don't we, folks?
Gotta love it.
This is your class 4A preview edition of Tap and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football subscriber. Coming here in just a moment, breaking down every single, we're going to script out each game of 4A. We're going to go like Pleasant Grove's opener, win the toss. We're going to go buck sweep left to kick off the season.
Yeah, that's I like it. I think your odds of that happening are actually pretty good.
I got to be honest. I feel like I know Pleasant Grove's playbook pretty well, considering how much football I've seen them play. But in any case, we'll go through all of Class 4A coming up here in just a little bit. Matt Stepp, you are in Canada. What's the vibe like now that the Olympics are over?
Sad. You know, Canada loves the Olympics. They are really into the Olympics. And so the vibes, I think now, you know, I actually went to a Blue Jays game yesterday. The Blue Jays are terrible this year. So it's, the vibes aren't great. I think everyone is ready for football season to start. Well, even though football season technically has started here, you know, Canada's big into the NFL. So, you know, it's big NFL.
Did you see that I'm catching some heat from Canadians these days?
Canadian Texas folks?
No, from Canadians. So
what did you do?
I had a tweet that went viral because I get these good shots up. This was immediately on the heels of that exceptional USA France men's gold medal basketball
game. It was awesome. We were watching it up here. My daughter was fired up.
That's one of the finest basketball games you'll ever see. Like I will say that I love football, obviously. I'm hosting a football podcast at the moment, but high stakes winner take all basketball, pretty sick.
I thought it was cool because we were all cheering for the same team, and it was kind of cool to cheer for Steph Curry. I mean, I'm not a Warriors fan, so he's pretty good.
That seems awesome. So anyway, United States wins gold in basketball, and I just took that opportunity to take a run at England, at which I said, let me read the tweet, which has now been retweeted.
I do remember this tweet more than 2,000 times. Yeah.
At England, you see, when you invent a sport, you're supposed to win at it. And that is, let's be honest. Let's take a moment. That's a heater of a tweet.
It's strong, tweet.
Anytime you have an opportunity to take a run at the English about their soccer team, you should. But then I had a bunch of people, especially Canadians, who were upset because James Naismith was Canadian.
He was, but he invented this sport in the United States.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
So I think Canada has a claim to the invention of basketball because a Canadian did invent it, but he was in the U.S. teaching school in the U.S. when he invented it. So,
Yeah. Anyway, that's been my, now I'm interacting with another person in Canadian soil. So if you see like protests, like with my, like if I'm being burned in effigy up there,
there was road signs on the billboards. You know, if you see this man, report him to the Mounties, then I asked, what's a kilometer? Does anyone really know what's a kilometer?
Does anybody know? Nobody could know. But we will. That is beside the point because Matt Stepp, we will start this podcast as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Matt Stepp, this is pretty simple. What is the record? Who owns the record for most points scored in a state semifinal game? UIL 11, man. And I will give you a hint.
11, man.
I will give you a hint. I want you to think about what podcast we're recording right now. Oh, there's a tease.
State semifinal. Most points by one team or combined?
By one team.
Okay. Stephenville.
Good guess. The answer is the Gilmer Buckeyes in 2023.
Gilmer and Glenrose.
As Gilmer defeated them 79-42.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a real household name in Upshur County at that point. But yes, that is the record for most points scored in a UIL 11 man state semifinal. 79 points for the Gilmer Buckeyes last year in their semifinal win over Glenrose en route to their state championship. We should have known. We should have known. Anyway, that is your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew, it's time to talk a little 4A as we are going to make our 4A into 4A.
Favorite classification.
This does always feel like the sweet spot of big school football in small towns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the best.
And so we will start in 4A Division II, where the number one team in our preseason rankings is not the defending state champs. The defending state champs, of course, are the Gilmer Buckeyes, who made a lot of us, including myself, look very foolish en route to their 4A Division II state championship. Well-deserved, the best team in 4A Division II. I don't think there's really a doubt. They beat, like, to me, that run to beat Carthage, Glenrose, and Belleville in consecutive weeks.
Pretty impressive.
And especially to do offensively what they did those 3 weeks is just, it's remarkable and deserving state champs.
And I think it's more satisfying for folks in Gilmer because they vanquished Carthage, who has been, who has tormented them over the past 10 years or so. I think that made it even sweeter for them. So, you know, they deserve the flowers, but they're not the number one team because the team they vanquished, I think for us, let's just set the tone in 4A Division II. Is 2024 the Scott Surratt Revenge Tour?
That really is the defining question because let's be real, the conversation, much like we were talking about with Gunner when we were talking about 3A Division II, there are in some classifications a team that the classification ultimately hinges on what they do. We're going to talk about it again, by the way, when we get to 5A Division I. We're going to talk about another team that the conversation hinges on what they do. And even when they lose, like they did last year, the conversation about 4A Division II is it Carthage or is it not? And last year in the state semi or in the regional final, this is going to win me friends out there in Pinole County. I think they got their pants pulled down.
Gilmer, I think, played a great game. And Gilmer was cooking with Crisco. I think for the first time, I thought Carthage maybe in that overtime against Gilmer got a little too cute, didn't run the football as much as they probably should. I don't think Gilmer could stop the run. And I think when Carthage held Gilmer to that field goal, I was sitting in the press box at Forney with Van head coach Jarrett Moffitt, because Malakoff was running away from Winsboro, and we were like, Carthage has got this game, and they threw two or three passes in that drive and didn't hand it off to KJ Edwards once. And I think Carthage maybe, I think if you put some truth serum in Scott Surratt and asked him, I think if he had a do over, I think they would have run the football a little bit more. So I think Gilmer caught a break, but Gilmer also made a lot of breaks in that game by really controlling it. Really, Carthage had to make a crazy rally late in the game just to get it to overtime. Gilmer really controlled that game most of the second half. So In a way, I think Carthage let one slip away, but in a way, I also think, Gilmer kind of let one slip away because they probably should have won it in regulation.
They absolutely should have won in regulation. And it's the first time in a long time that we've seen Carthage really get beat up, like, especially defensively, like, to get beat up
They struggled in that
defensively.
game. They really struggled in that game. And you don't see that very often. Probably the first time since they lost to Liberty Hill in the state semifinals, where they really just couldn't
Probably
stop
right.
Liberty Hill's slot T in that game. I think this was maybe the
But
first time that really Carthage struggled that much defensively.
I will tell you that the thing you need to remember about this Carthage program is that they don't win the state championship every year. That's very clear. But they also don't go 2 years without a state championship. They haven't done it since 2014, 2015. If they lose a title game, or if they lose a state championship, you in the last 10 years, they've just come back and won the next one.
And
And there's
on
reason to
paper,
believe, yeah, there's reason to believe that last year was the year that you were going to get Carthage. They were young. They were especially young. I think they were young at quarterback with a new quarterback. They were young at in on the defense. And now you cannot say the same thing about them as the Bulldogs bring back 15 starters from a team that now has every reason to go out there and try to lop some heads off.
Sure. And I think if you pulled up Tepin Steps 4A preview last year, you would hear us say, if you're going to get Carthage, you get them this year because the next couple of years, they're loaded. And this is year one of that. And so, I think Carthage has got something to play for. I think they feel, I think last year, especially losing to Gilmer, that just stinks. They lost to Gilmer and they've taken pride in being Gilmer's tormentor. And I think you're going to see Carthage come out this year with a pep in their step and ready to go from the jump.
You saw them, like, I mean, I'm already making, I've already got a ton of friends in Upshur County. I can only apologize so many times, but like, let's be real. Over the past decade or so, Gilmer has been Carthage's little brother. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
Carthage has dominated Gilmer over the past 10 years. I mean, it's been towards the end of Jeff Traylor's tenure and then into Matt Turner and Alan Metzel, it's been all Carthage and Gilmer.
Go
Go
back
to
to
that
that
state
2020
championship
title
game.
game.
I mean, it's been a lot of Carthage putting up big numbers and Gilmer struggling. So, I think that's the tenor. When you look at the classification as a whole, it starts kind of right there with that Gilmer Carthage dynamic. And I think with Pleasant Grove taking probably a significant step back because they're so young, I think we're careening towards a Carthage Gilmer showdown. Probably in the third round of the playoffs. The way
I
the
bet
brackets are going
that,
to set up, I think they're going to play
yeah.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Because, by the way, remember, Gilmer and Carthage was a regional final because Gilmer didn't win their district.
Correct. Gilmer lost to Pleasant Grove, and Carthage won that war with Pleasant Grove in the third round. And I also think, and this isn't taking anything away from Gilmer, Carthage, that win over Pleasant Grove was so emotional to the, and I think Pleasant Grove took a big chunk out of Carthage in that game. I think they took a lot of Carthage with them in that loss. So, but there's a lot more to talk about in 4A Division Two than just that. I mean, I think you look at Region Three and we'll get to it. We kind of break down Region Three is going to be a fireworks factory. It is loaded once again.
We'll start with Region One, though. 4A Division Two, Region One. And here you've got a really fun mix of teams. Matt Sipp, you've got six teams that won 10 or more games last year in this region. A couple of teams we've become used to, including defending regional champion Glen Rose, who is
Two-time regional champion.
two times regional champ. Put some
Yeah,
respect on their
back to
name.
back.
And by the way, it's pretty loaded again this year, at least on paper.
You remember last year, Glen Rose started real slow. We kind of said Glen Rose is going to take a step back. Well, they got cooking in district and kept it going all the way to the state semifinals. And Cliff Watkins, we saw him down at College Station at State 707. They bring a ton back. They come in as the favorite in Region One, but Region One's a lot tougher. Not just because Graham brings a lot back, but you've got some new additions into that mix that make the region a lot tougher with teams like, Brock coming in from Class 3A, absolute powerhouse who's shown they can play with 4A schools year in and year out. Lubbock Estacado dropping down from Division One to Division Two, 10-win team last year. I think those are kind of your top four teams in the region, but you've got a nice mix of teams kind of below that, teams like Monahans, Seminole, I think you are going to be pretty good. I think a team like Fort Worth Dunbar could surprise a lot of people this year, moving down from Division One. I think Cody Worrell at Mineral Wells has got something cooking in the right direction this year. I think Mineral Wells is going to take a big step forward this year as well. So there's some good teams in that Region One mix.
Mineral Wells is thrust into that very, very tough district with Brock and Graham. Brock fascinates me. Brock's a really interesting team this year because obviously moving up a classification is difficult. They've been on the verge for a while. They move up and they're super young. They've only got six starters back from last year's team that, remember, played in a 3A Division I state semifinal and played within a score of the eventual state champion in Malakoff. But they're young, but at the same time, they got that dude at quarterback. Brody Woods is back, and I'm a Brody Woods guy. I think Brody Woods is excellent.
And Brock's been good long enough where you kind of give them the respect of they're going to reload. And we saw when they played that, played Wimberley, Pleasant Grove, teams like that, Wichita Falls, Hershey, and non-district. We saw that Brock's shown they can play with some of the big dogs in 4A. And I think getting put in 4A Region 1 is a pretty decent spot for them. I don't think they're the favorite in Region 1, but it wouldn't shock me if Brock was playing, for a regional championship. There's that kind of program.
I think you're entirely correct. If I may throw out, I'm going to say this, the deepest sleeper of the year in 4A. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Matt Stepp, I want you to buy a little bit of stock in the Lubbock Liberty Patriots.
Brand
Okay.
new school. Okay.
Brand new school. They went 7-0 last year. In obviously a non varsity schedule, right?
Sure,
But
sure.
they looked really good. They bring back a lot of guys that I know that Coach Joe Sexton's really fired up about. They were that like the, their JV, like I said, their JV went 8-0. And they're not going to be scared. I'll say that. And we know the talent pool from which they're drawing is very
Sure.
strong.
They're drawing from Lubbock Cooper. Lubbock Cooper has been a really good 5A program for years. And let's not forget, Canyon West Plains was good right off the bat. West Plains went to the area round of the playoffs in their first year. I could see Lubbock Liberty. I think Lubbock Liberty is a playoff team. I think they're gonna get into the playoffs, and I think at that point, who's to say they couldn't win a game or two?
Just keep an eye on that. But it's a very, very deep and fun region that, and we haven't always been able to say that about Region One, but I think that this is
Deeper
going to be
this
the
year than
most.
it has been.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun
Agree.
because part of the reason that we haven't always been able to say that is because we've focused so much attention on 4A Division Two, Region Two, and we'll do it again. Three of your top seven, your number one and number two teams live here. We talked at length about Carthage. Let's talk about Gilmer, of course, the defending state champs from last year, and what a job Alan Metzel does. This is I'll just say this again. This is one of those things where we talk about it with we talk about it with Coach Walker at Liberty Hill. We talk about it with a number of other guys who like take over programs from outstanding coaches and just keep on doing the thing. That is a lot harder than it looks. And what Alan Metzel has done there at Gilmer, we don't praise it enough. It's remarkable.
And I think he did get some of the praise that he deserved last year because they finally got over that hump. But they've been, he's such a good guy, and he's just kept Gilmer at that really high level, even going through, this is, I mean, we're two coaches removed from Jeff Traylor now. Like that's, but Metzel, because he was a part of that, helped build that. He's so rooted in that community, has so much respect from that community. I think it says a lot about him and what he's, the roots that he's put down there in Gilmer, and being able to keep that thing. They're always going to have talent. They're always going to have really good players. And those kids want to be Gilmer Buckeyes. So he's done a great job keeping that program. Sometimes it's harder to stay on top of the mountain than it is to get to the top.
Well, this year they bring back guys like Caden Tennyson, the quarterback. They bring back Brandon Webb, who was such a star for them, the defensive MVP of the title game last year. Lucas Cano is back on their offensive line to lead the way. My question for Gilmer is going to be, people are sick of hearing me, but say this twofold. One, I think Will Henderson was really important in what they did last year. And losing him to graduation is tough. The other thing, It's the defense, and the defense, look, they proved last year that like they could outscore their defensive deficiencies. And by the way, their defense did get better as the year went on. They
They
were
did. They struggled early,
ugly
both times.
front up front.
Yeah.
The numbers were skewed in a little bit. But that said, they lose a guy in Aaron Bell, who I think was so important to what they do defensively. I need to see them replace that. Right now, I would size them up as the chief challenger to Carthage, but
Yes.
I think probably a small but clear underdog to Carthage in a hypothetical regional semifinal.
What I'm interested to see is how Gilmer handles their quarterback situation, because you have a returning quarterback in Caden Tennyson, but you have Brady McCown, who moved in from Jacksonville. And if that McCown name rings a bell, he is related to the McCowns. He's there now. Does Tennyson move over to the defensive side of the ball where he's likely to play in college? And does McCown take the reins of the offense? This is not the first time something like this has happened at Gilmer, because there's a guy at Texas State named G.J. Kinney who finished his senior season at Gilmer and basically uprooted a returning, I believe the quarterback at Gilmer at that time was also, they were coming off a state championship. And Kinney and Gilmer lost in the first round of the playoffs that year. It was a huge upset. They got beat. You know, Gilmer was kind of thought as a super team, and they got beat by Liberty Iloa in the first round of the playoffs. So does history repeat itself with a move-in quarterback coming in off a state championship? How does that work? To the flip side of that, remember Waco La Vega a couple of years ago when Ara Rawls was their quarterback, and then the younger Kinney moves in and plays quarterback, and Rawls moves to safety. So this is not the first time something like this has happened. Not the first time it's happened in Gilmer. So I'll be very interested to see how that goes. The rest of Region Two, I think you got Gilmer and Carthage at the top, and I think then it kind of drops off because Pleasant Grove, as good as they were last year, they're young.
And they
They're
got that
really, really
guy. They
young.
got Lance, like headliner wise, Lance Jackson is as good a player in 4A as you will find hard stop. Like he's spectacular.
He is, but there's not, it's a lot of youth around him, a lot of inexperience, a lot of guys who haven't played because Pleasant Grove was so senior heavy last year. So that's something to keep an eye on. We forget Sunnyvale pushed Gilmer to the limit in the second round of the play, in the second or third round of the playoffs last year. And Sunnyvale has some pieces to replace. Their coach retired, their quarterback transferred to Forney. So Sunnyvale's got a lot of question marks when you're looking at potential contenders there in Region Two.
I would also, and it, they're in the wrong district because you're in the Carthage district, but Athens intrigues me for
Dropping,
a
they were the
division a D1 drop down.
playoff team last year, and they played. They were in a district with Chapel Hill, Kilgore, Lyndale, so they're used to playing tough competition. I think dropping down will help them quite a bit. I think if center, the question with center and the Rough Riders is always can they play defense? You know, offensively they're going to be dynamic. Can they play defense? And I think Van moves into District 7. And I think Jared Moffitt's squad has the makings of a team that can kind of sneak up on a lot of people this year. Keep an eye on the Van Vandals as well. They're going to be strong. They bring a lot of experience back.
Over to Region 3, which is the I'll just okay. It's definitely the deepest district or deepest region
Sure.
in 482. I don't think it has the top heaviness of Region 2, where it's got Carthage and Gilmer. But bro, we've got 10 teams in the top 25 here.
A lot of depth, a lot of good teams.
And what I love about it is that they're all like, there's not one power district that is like overwhelmingly better than every other district. District 9 has got contenders with Hampshire, Fannett, Jasper, and Silsbee. District 10 is probably the weaker link, but District 11's got Belleville and Jasper or Madisonville and Sealy. And District 12 is the new kind of the newly formed Central Texas juggernaut there with a team moving down or two teams moving down in La Vega and China Spring and a team moving up in La Arena. This is a fun region.
Yeah, 12-4A Division Two is pound for pound one of the best districts in Texas. It's the best in 4A Division Two, in my opinion, because you've kind of got all the band back together there in the Waco area. China Springs, not what they were a couple of years ago when they had their back-to-back state championships, but still strong. I think La Vega is kind of ticking back up. I think La Vega is going to be really, really dangerous this year. Robinson and Gatesville both made huge strides last year. And you got Wake O'Conley, who's always an enigma, always as talented as anyone in Texas, but they are a perennial team that kind of plays below their grade in a lot of ways. But Conley still can't is dangerous enough to beat people. So 12-4A Division II is really, really strong. I think Belleville's the class still is it, Belleville proved last year they were the class of the region. Kind of, I think their statement was made when they mowed down Silsbee with relative ease in the third round of the playoffs. Jasper gave him a game, but just didn't have enough firepower. I don't know if anyone's going to be able to contend with Bell. I mean, that defensive line with DJ Sanders and then the other kid, Dante Keyes, I think, just picked up a couple of Division I offers as well. Offensively, the slot T, they have more to replace on offense than on defense. But they still got DD Murray, who's another Division I type player. So I think top to bottom, you give Belleville the edge. But Hampshire Fannett, let me tell you, they're dynamic. State 7-on-7 champs last year. They've been knocking on the door the past couple of years to be an elite team in Region 3. Just haven't been able to get over that Silsbee hump. I think Hampshire Fannett, this is the year they get over Silsbee hump. I think Hampshire Fannett could be the chief challenger to Belleville this year. The problem is, I think it's a bad matchup for Hampshire Fannett because Belleville, I think, is just so good up front.
This podcast is very clearly, we've stated this on the record, off the record, wherever you want via the record, where Kendrick Cremedy stands. I think that Jasper has some rebuilding to do on the defensive side, but I also don't think that I think that if you're for Jasper, I trust that they're just going to have a really hard-nosed lockdown defense every single year. And so, like, I don't necessarily bury them because they need to replace nine starters defensively. The maybe the opposite of that would be a team like Silsbee, where it does feel like last year was the chance. It feels like, or really the past 2 years, that the
That qu the Quero game at NRG is the one in 2022 that's really going to stick in their craw. I mean, that's the one that Silsbee folks are like, that's the one that got away.
That is the one that does feel like the one that got away, and now it does feel like maybe that window has closed or is closing. Madisonville intrigues me. Madisonville is a team.
They're kind of a quiet team. They're going to be overshadowed by Belleville in that district, but I think Madisonville's a team. 2 years ago, they were in the third round of the playoffs. Two years ago, they beat Belleville in the second round. They upset stunned Belleville in the second round of the playoffs. So, Madisonville brings a lot back there. They've done a good job there. I think they're going to be kind of on that next tier of teams in a really deep Region 3.
I'd be interested in, is this the year for West Orange Stark? A couple kind of fits and starts years. Interested in seeing what happens
I
there.
think they'll be better this year, but I still don't think they're where they were. I think they're probably a third or fourth place team, and maybe the right draw to get out of the first round, but be tough to see them going past anything further than that.
All right, on to Region 4, which has been the absolutely dominated by Wimberley, pretty much forever. I mean,
Since the last 2 years for sure, since when Quero moved over to Region 3, it was pretty much a yellow brick road for Wimberley to the state semifinals. They just dominated.
And now I do think that the region will be, I mean, maybe a little bit tougher specifically for one team, but let's talk about Wimberley for a moment. Cody Stover back for his senior year.
He almost
As
single-handed. I think he basically was Wimberley's entire offense in that Belleville game last year. Running and passing, he was pretty the entire offense.
and
And
as rock solid a
he impressed.
quarterback as rock solid a quarterback as you're going to find in 4A. The question for me is the guys around him, and specifically they have a lot of work to do defensively. Does Doug Warren to kind of rebuild that defense on the fly. But I mean, they're probably still the favorite. The team, though, that is probably most interesting to me is a Region 4 newcomer. Next up, the Quero Gobblers are back in Region 4.
Yeah, Quero's back, and I think Jared Fekoch is going to have his guys ready to go. Quero, Wimberley, Quero, those are teams that just kind of traditionally reload, and we expect them to be really good. And maybe they have questions going into the year, but we trust that they'll figure it out. Tradition, longevity, all those things that have been really on Wimberley and Quero's side over the past 10, 15 years will be there again. I think Quero, you have to consider them a chief challenger. I think if there's a year that you can dream on a team, it's Senton. Senton, with what they have coming back at the skill positions, maybe they have enough to push Wimberley or Cuero. But I think if you do, you got to really squint to see that. And if you really, really squint, you're looking at Port Isabel down in the valley with their slot T offense. Can they make some noise? But those are kind of dream picks. I think we're on a collision course. Wimberley, Cuero, those are the two best teams in the region, and I think the region will ultimately come down to those two teams.
Respectfully, Sinton, I think, will be in the mix too. I think their offense will be better than it was last year. I think they'll be in that mix, but I also think if you're looking for the sleeper here, there's two of them that I want you to try out. If they can just get out of the stinking first round, Divine, I'm into the War Horses this year. Seven or 16 starters back, and then I'm buying a little bit of stock in Rockport Fulton. I'm very interested. Eric Sosa is their third coach in 3 years. The former UTSA, star. They bring back a lot, and if he can kind of pull them together, I think the
But I
talent's
think they're
there. And I
dropping
think,
down to, they were Division One last year, I think. So,
dropping
yeah.
dropping down, and they're dropping to a district with Cuero and Sinton. But like, I think they're the third place team in that district, in my opinion. And
They got him over Ingleside. Okay,
got
okay.
him over Ingleside. So,
You
keep
forget
an
how
eye.
good Ingleside was last year. They were 11. Let's mention Ingleside a little bit. They were 11-2 last year. Great year, but they lost so much. They lost a lot.
They lose so much, especially firepower
Offensively,
wise. Like that offense, which is so good. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So now give me your regional picks and your state championship pick in 4A Division II, Matthew.
Region one, I'm going with Glen Rose. Region two, I'm going with Carthage. Region three, Belleville. Region four, Wimberley. Very chalky here in 4A Division two. In a state championship, going to go Carthage over Belleville. If Carthage gets to a state championship, I ain't picking against Scott Surratt. So give me Carthage over Belleville in the state championship game.
I think we are in 100% alignment, actually. I'm going to go with Glen Rose in Region 1, although I am very interested in Graham. How well does Clay McChristian kind of step into those roles from Kenny Davidson? But Glen Rose in Region 1, Carthage, after winning a slobber knocker over Gilmer in a regional semifinal, gets through. I like Belleville in Region 3, although I could be talked into La Vega. We haven't talked enough about La Vega. I think that team,
If
when
there's
Don Hyde's
anyone who's
quiet,
shown, and if there's anyone that's shown they can stop the slot T, when Don Hyde has the personnel, Don Hyde can cook something up to slow the slot T down.
I will go with Belleville though for now, and then I'm going to go with Wimberley in Region 4, and I've got the same championship game. Give me Carthage over Belleville in a slobber knocker state championship game, but Carthage gets the win in another state championship. So there you go. There is my there's 4A Division 2. On to 4A Division 1, Matthew, where a positioning statement, and I want to see if you agree. There is no more wide open classification in all of UIL Texas high school football than 4A Division 1.
I can buy that. I think the overarching theme here is very wide open. The state champion from last year has moved on to Class 5A. You still have the team they beat in the state championship game in Chapel Hill. But I think it's absolutely wide open. I think there are a lot of teams who could make a case that they could be state champion. I think there's as many as 10 teams in 4A Division One who I think could legitimately say they have a shot at a state championship. It's pretty wide open this year.
And it's funny you say as many as 10 teams. I agree, but I would also look at our preseason top 10, which, is a projection and stuff like that. But I think there are teams outside the top 10 that should feel like they can win a state championship because there are very disparate paths here. There are, in my opinion, there is not regional balance here. I do not think overall that there are some classifications where region one, region two, region three, region four, about the same. One might be a little bit better than the others. I think there are some disparate regions here that you've got teams that are gonna show up in a state semifinal. And you're going to be like, oh, here you are, which is going to make for
You mean like
some
San
fun
Antonio
there.
Davenport did last year?
since
We
Aaron
were like, oh,
Davenport's an excellent example of that.
they're in the state semifinals. Oh.
So, but although one of the big moves, I think, and again, this is one of those things that when realignment comes out, you're not able to see everything all at once. And I don't think it was until the next day that I realized, oh, hey, wait, Stephenville swung over to Region 1.
Yeah, they're in a very odd district in Region 1 with you know, them and Brownwood obviously are tied at the hip, but then you go down 281 and you're in there with Lampasas, Marble Falls, and Burnett. So interesting,
it is,
you've got the Austin flavor in Region 1.
Here's the funny thing about it is that you could very easily, the UIL very easily could have thrown them into District like 13, and it still would have like made sense relatively so geographically.
Absolutely.
Because you've got a couple teams that have done that, like Lampasas, I think, made that swing. Yeah, they went from District 13 to District 4.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, you're a Region 1 team now.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely, yeah, it was a very inter- and I think because of that, I think for me, when we look at Region 1, I think you've got really two power nexuses in Region 1. You've got District 4 with Stephenville and Brownwood. And by the way, Lampasas is going to be really good this year. Keep
yes,
an eye
they
on
are.
The Badgers. Maybe not quite like they were when Ace Whitehead was leading the way and they pushed Carthage to the limit in that state semifinal, but very, very good. And I think up in the Panhandle, I think the three district, I think it's district two, District 2, 4A Division 1 with the three Canyon schools, Hereford and Dumas. There's five really, really good teams in that district, and one of them's going to miss the playoffs this year. There's going to be someone, there's going to be a really good team who misses out in the playoffs totally in that region. It's a fun region. And if you're looking for like a deep sleeper, keep an eye on Andrews. Mustangs, in year two of the slot T offense, they've got one of the most productive running backs in the state and Jay Sean Barrow coming back. They're in the second year of that system. They're going to be a lot better at it. If you're looking for like a deep sleeper, Andrews is the deep sleeper.
So Stephenville starts the year as our number one team because someone has to start the year at number one. But I will also say that sounds dismissive, but Stephenville, like, they, in a year where I have a lot of questions about pretty much every single team in 4A Division One, Stephenville's probably the team that feels the most complete on August 12th when we're recording this, of when you're talking about quarterback. They got Ryan Gafford back, who was such a star for them last year. Defense, especially front seven, Hudson Butchie and Colton Dirth, they're going to be excellent. Receiving core, Tristan Gentry is a monster on the outside. And pedigree, right? Stephenville is a program that needs no introduction in Texas high school
football.
Did you
hear about the new running back Stephenville has as well?
Did I hear about the new running back? I don't know. You tell me.
Sawyer Wilkerson, who's also related to our own
no.
Wilkerson. Comanche is Sawyer Wilkerson, who's had back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons, is now in Stephenville.
Wow.
Paperwork's all clear. Go. So that's a 2,000-yard running back that they've added to the mix as well.
This feels like, again, in a region, or rather in a classification with not a lot of like sure things, they do feel like the most complete team there right now. And crazy things can happen, and that's not a guarantee of success. But right now, Stephenville looks the part. The funny thing is that their biggest challenge within their own region and within their own district is their arch rival, is Brownwood, united again in a district as God intended. Stephenville and Brownwood playing, I believe, week 10. I wrote that
it's
at
late.
Some point.
It's late in the year. Yeah, it's October.
But that rocks, and that's how it should be. And by the way, Brownwood ain't going to be bad. They're going to be pretty darn good this year as well.
They got to replace the quarterback in Ike Hall, who was so special last year, but they did get, you know, Trey Mosley, Duncanville running back, moved in. I believe he's originally from Brownwood and went to Duncanville, is now back home in Brownwood. That helps them out. Brownwood, I think, is going to lean more on their defense this year. But, you know, Stephenville, to me, still is the team to beat here. And then you look in the Panhandle. The three Canyon schools, I'm really having a hard time.
I'm telling you.
I think Canyon Randall might be the best of the bunch this year. They bring a ton back. West Plains lost a lot. They still have the quarterback of graduated heavy. Canyon's kind of in the mix. You know, Dumas and Hereford, it's a like I said, that Panhandle district, there's five teams and only four spots. It's going to be a fun district to watch.
We got Canyon, the Canyon teams. You've got number 13, West Plains, number 15, Canyon, number 19, Randall. This is like the best year of Canyon football ever.
And they're all in the same district.
Yeah. It's going to be
the first time ever. So
it's going to be fun. I think that I agree with you on Andrews, that the El Paso district, it's, you know, I'm glad it happened for realignment reasons. Cause it could have been real messy if it didn't. El Paso Austin is probably the best of the bunch.
I'm big on East Letta this year. Riverside graduated heavy and lost their coach. I'm big on East Letta this year. Give me East Letta as kind of the best of the bunch there in the Sun City in 4A.
So in Region 2 also has some really quality depth here as well. And a lot of this comes back to what you think of that, I guess it was week 11, that week 11 game where Frisco Panther Creek beat Salina. And it was, I think I wrote this in the magazine. I said that there is no doubt that it was the biggest moment in Frisco Panther Creek football history.
It's a fair
yeah. But it was.
I think they showed it wasn't a fluke, because if you remember, in the third round of the playoffs, Anna needed a 30-yard touchdown pass in the last play of the game to beat Panther Creek. No one played Anna tougher in the playoffs than Panther Creek. So I think they showed they've got staying power, and I think they're an exciting team. They've got, you know, Christian Trickett and Jalen Lott on the outside, Donovan Webb. They've got the big names, but they've got one really, really, really big question, and that's at quarterback. Who's going to be the guy taking the snaps for Panther Creek this year? If they can answer that question, I think they're the team to beat in Region 2, but they got to answer that question first.
Yeah, Salina probably has fewer questions overall. This is going to stun you guys, but they're going to run the ball. Harrison Williams and Logan Gutierrez, they're going to be an outstanding running team. And I think their defense has an opportunity to be good. And by the way, it's a real same sport moment when you remember that last year, it was Gilmer 79, Glenrose 42. And also last year, I think a week before, it was Stephenville 7 and Salina 3. Mm-hmm. So a real like same sport moment.
But the only team to beat Anna last year was Salina.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
I was there.
And then there is Decatur. Mm-hmm. Now Decatur has a lot of things going for him. I think their defense has an opportunity to be pretty darn good. I think their linebacker core is going to be excellent. They bring back their quarterback in Jet Ross, who I thought was really, really good for them last year. But they have a big question and a big hole to fill, because Nate Palmer ain't walking through that door. And he was Decatur football for the last 3 years, basically.
Nate Palmer is at TCU now, and Decatur, after winning the region back-to-back years in Region 1, not only do they lose Nate Palmer, but they move east into a much tougher neighborhood in Region 2. So I think they're still going to be the team to beat in District 5. I think Springtown is going to be right there with them. I think it's a two-horse race there, but I think if Decatur stayed in Region 1, I could see a path for them to get back to the state semifinals. I just think the path in Region 2, losing Nate Palmer and being in Region 2, I think is going to be a little bit too much to ask there of the Decatur Eagles.
Let's not forget, I think the real clear juggernaut in Region 2, VNA Moreno's own Lake Dallas Falcons. I think they're going to be pretty good. That's kind of a joke, but I think they're going to be pretty good.
No, they were a 9-2 team last year in 5A.
10-2.
And dropping down. The problem is their district is just brutal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. District 7, 4A, Division 1 is ridiculous. 6 really, really good teams, and only 4 are going to make the playoffs. So Panther Creek, Salina, Lake Dallas, Aubrey, Sulphur Springs, Paris. Someone's not making the playoffs. And two of them aren't making the playoffs. And it's a brutal district.
And it's funny, because that has trickle-down effects. Like, for example, speaking of alma maters, my mother's alma mater, the Dallas Kimball Knights, I like this team a lot. We saw them at 7-on-7. They've got dudes. Bam Harrison's done an outstanding job there. They could see in the first round of the playoffs, like they could very reasonably get Aubrey in the first round of the playoffs.
That is not a fun first round matchup. Aubrey's tough. So it's a brutal draw. And whoever's in that Dallas, Kimball and Carter, I think Pinkston's going to be a lot better this year. Conrad moving down from 5A, it's hopes to get in the playoffs. Wormel Hutchins, if you don't get first place in District 8, it's almost a foregone conclusion. You're going to be going home after round one. You got to win the district to have a shot. That's a lot of pressure on those teams. Now, I think it's a lot of pressure on Kimball in their first year in Class 4A.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be very interesting. Keep an eye also, I'll just say this because I wanted to put this on wax. Keep an eye on Alvarado. I know
Seeing
we
them in
kind
the
of say
season
that every
opener,
year.
their Alvarado is going to be really, really good. This the a lot of 3-year starters kind of flying under the radar. Keep an eye on the Alvarado Indians. They're going to be really, really strong.
To Region 3 we go, where the state runner-up from a year ago, the Chapel Hill Bulldogs, reside. And Chapel Hill is, I don't know, you want to shape these narratives in your head about like this team, and this is the senior class, and specifically at the skill position spots, the senior class there at Chapel Hill is the year that they've been waiting for. And you see like in 2022, they make it to the semifinals. They get skunked by Bernie. They make it to a title game in 2023. They get skunked by Anna. Like, is this the year for the breakthrough for Jeff Reardon's bunch? The issue for me, though, is that I wonder about they bring back the stars. They bring back Ricky Stewart, their outstanding running back. They bring back their quarterback, whose name is presently escaping me.
Demetrius Brisbane.
Thank you. Demetrius Brisbane, who's a superstar.
Baylor, he's committed to Baylor. Great player.
I wonder about the worker bees, because I think what was the real secret sauce for them last year was that they had a ton of dudes whose names you don't know, who were really, really good, and they got hit kind of hard in that aspect of graduation. Guys who
Complimentary,
went
a
to
lot of the complimentary pieces graduated.
Darius Dean and Javen Mayfield and Kendall Allen and Davian Ross, right?
Yeah,
Like,
I mean, Kendall Allen and Ross, I think, were Division I players. Like, they lost some good football players. So,
And so that's the question: is can they fill in those work? They're gonna have the star power. They got the star power. And by the way, if they are not careful, they are in the clear district of doom. Matt Stepp, this is what I'm talking about as far as regional balance is concerned. In Region 3, this is according to Dave Campbell's Texas Football. These are the top-ranked teams in Region 3. Chapel Hill, then Kilgore, then Lyndale, then Longview Pine Tree. Matt Stepp, can you tell me something about those four teams?
They're all in the same district, 9-4A Division I. It's gonna be a meat grinder. Hey, and we haven't talked about Palestine. Palestine, they're gonna be dangerous as well under Coach James Reyes, new head coach there. It's a tough district. But hey, remember, Chapel Hill didn't win district last year. Kilgore, I think Chapel Hill may have finished third.
They did, because
They
remember
lost to
they lost to
Lyndale.
Lyndale.
Yeah. So this shows you 9-4A Division I is a bloodbath.
But at the same time, Chapel Hill got Kilgore in the playoffs.
Which they've done the last. Chapel Hill's been victimizing Kilgore, I think, 3 years in a row now in the playoffs in the third or fourth round. So, and Kilgore's won, I think, a couple of games in the regular season, but just haven't been able to get over the hump come playoff time. But I'll tell you this, Tepper, I'm in on I'm pushing my chips in on Kilgore this year. I think this is the year. I was teetering on it, and then I saw them in state 7-on-7 and saw how those kids. This is a hungry group that wants to win, and they're together. This is a special group. I think Kilgore is going to be really fun to watch this year.
I think their defense has an opportunity to be elite, elite, like
Oh
really,
yeah,
really good.
maybe the best 1-4A Division I.
And they've got a playmaker in Jaden Sanders, who is just like capital T that, capital D dude. Like, he's a freak show.
And that's the young sophomore running back, Rashawn Bell, who really impressed as a freshman. I think is going to take a step forward this year. And you're right. This is a Kilgore team that in 7-on-7 was giving up like 12 points a game. Like in 7-on-7, when they get pads on and they're able to rush the passer, they're going to be a problem. Their whole defensive line is back. Their secondary is amongst the best in the state. And then you got Sanders, who can swing over on offense and be a dude on there. The Kilgore is going to be fun to watch. They play a physical brand of football that makes them really tough to prepare for.
Lindale and Pine Tree kind of round out that district, both of which are going to be great. Outside of District 9, I think it's probably Needville. A 10-win team from a year ago. They have got a couple they've got a couple of pieces to replace, specifically, like, especially on
Sean
the
Burton
defensive side.
transferred, and just their best offensive player transferred to Richmond Randall. A lot of questions. I think 9-4A Division 9-4A re, excuse me, Region 3 and 4A Division 1 runs through 9-4A. I think we're going to see a East Texas regional finals.
Really?
We
You think
might
all four?
see all four East Texas teams in the regional semis.
Has not happened in 4A. It happened in 2022 when 13 4A Division II, Wimberley, Navarro, Lago Vista, and Jarrell made it. That's the only time it's ever happened in 4A,
Could happen this
I
year.
believe. It's interesting. I would love to, by the way, again, we're buying some stocks here. Just I'm sprinkling some stock advice here. Houston Worthing, anybody? I could be down for the Colts. I think, again, as far as the best in District 11, I think they're a clear favorite over Fur. And then if you're into, and it feels like we say this every year about this guy, Little Cypress Mauriceville.
Should
Once
be, I
again,
mean, 2 years
Eric
ago they were in the
Peavy.
third round of the playoffs. Yeah, so
And he's got 17 starters back from last year's team, so keep an eye on them. But I think you're right. I think East Texas is the power nexus of district of Region 3. On to Region 4, which is like suddenly the most wild ass region in 4A Division 1.
realignment did a number on this region. Moving Bay City and El Campo south into Region 4 really kind of turned things on its head in this region. Davenport kind of, you lose Bernie. Bernie goes up to 5A. So you've got Bernie leaving, and you got two teams from the Houston area coming down south into this region. I think it makes for, Lampasas also left. They went to Region 1, and Alice also. So I think three of the four, if memory serves, three of the four teams who were in the regional semifinals last year are
That
gone.
sounds
So
right.
makes things a lot more wide open, but you're still the champ in Davenport.
Davenport, it starts the year as our favorite in region 4, and obviously as a reigning regional champion, like they deserve to stay there. I do think that they are, I don't know. I have questions about their defense because their defense needs to replace seven starters. They lost some really key pieces, including Zaheer Livingston, off of last year's team. I think they're going to be good, but I also think that the standard has raised in Region 4 to the point that now it's not like, let's put it this way. If you just run back last year's region and remove the teams that moved to 5A, right? Like remove Bernie. Is Davenport probably in a little bit of a walk? You know what I mean? I think they're the clear favorite. But now you add in Austin LBJ, who's back in 4A because Austin ISD finally let them drop down to 4A. And then you add in the arch rivals down there in Bay City and El Campo, both of whom might have their best teams in like a decade at the same time.
Especially Bay City has been geared up for this year for quite some time. I think it really makes Region 4 much more fascinating than it has been. And then then you got the big question mark of Cal Allen. How do they look under their new head coach and Travis Reeve? They're changing their offense. Chapel Hill's offensive coordinator, Johnny Irvin, is now the offensive coordinator at Cal Allen. So Cal Allen, we're looking at possibly moving to the spread offense. So very interested to see kind of how things shake out there in Region 4. Overall,
I want them to, this is just for me and for me only. I want like the first home game for Charlie Reeve to throw his guys out there in like a five wide spread, and I just want to hear like boos from the crowd. I'm rooting for him. I want to be clear. I like Charlie Reeve a lot, but like I just want him to like culture shock
it'll be
these fans
interesting.
who've been watching the Wing T for 40 years, and then suddenly it's like, all right, air raid.
Yeah, we're five wide, empty set.
Exactly right. It's a fascinating team. I will tell you this about Bay, or about El Campo. I think there is a real argument to be made that like this is the best El Campo team in quite a while. And remember, this is a team that harbored Ruben Owens for a
Yeah.
while. Like this team's
Travis Reed was
really.
very, yeah. When I saw him in 7-on-7 at Needville, he was very confident. He thought this would be a really good team.
I tend to agree. I think that they're going to be very good. If you're looking for a sleeper here in Region Four, you could talk me into a team like Austin Travis. It's hard to see a team other than Austin than LBJ being there, but they're dropping down, which should help them. And then how about the Battling Billies of Fredericksburg? 16 starters back from a team that I think was better than their record indicated. Got better. Like they started super slow. They might start like. They might, oh man, they might have been like 0-6 or something. But then they figured it out late and I think they're gonna be better. So keep an eye on them. All right, Matthew, give me your regional picks in each region of 4A Division One and then your state championship game.
In region one, I'm going to go with Stephenville. Region two, I really debated hard on region two, but I'm going to go with Frisco Panther Creek, despite the question marks at quarterback. Region three, I'm going with Kilgore this year. I think Kilgore gets their revenge on Chapel Hill after 3 years in a row losing to Chapel Hill. I think Kilgore flips the script. In region four, I'm going to go with Bay City. I think the Black Cats and their speed, I think they've got enough to get out of region four. And in the state championship, an entertaining state championship game, give me Kilgore over Stephenville.
Kilgore over Stephenville, boy. You want to talk about hitting.
That'll be fun. That'll be a fun
All
state
right.
championship if it happens.
Region one, I like Stephenville. Region two, I'm going to go with Salina. I think they get a little bit of revenge. I could see them splitting these two games. Like if they play twice, I could see them splitting them. But I'm going to go with Salina in region two. I'm going to go with Chapel Hill in region three. I think that again, if they fill in those worker bees, then they're the team to beat. And then region four. Oh man, you've really got me thinking about Bay City.
We talked about LBJ hardly. I mean, LBJ. I went out.
Think
It was Bay
LBJ is
City
going to be really
LBJ for
good.
me. Yeah.
I'm going to do LBJ. I'm going to be a little different. I'm going
Okay.
to go with LBJ, Austin LBJ in Region 4. And in a state championship, boy, Chapel Hill and LBJ would be fun as
A
heck title,
rematch. Rematch of,
semifinal.
yeah.
Yeah.
2021 rematch.
I'm going to go with, give me Stephenville over Chapel Hill in a title game. That's chalky according to our rankings, but I like it. That's what I'm going to do. So there you go. There is 4A Division One. And now let's roll into five. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do 5A.
Another day on Tap and Step
Another day. We will do another day on Tap
next
and
week.
Step. That's right. That's right. Next week on Tap and Step. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. We do appreciate you being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next time for the 5A preview on Tap and Step.